The main thing I was trying to get across is that if there was some reason for not going for Bremer because...
No, there's not any reason except this fellow's name's in it, and if we could get it out and get him dead and let him know that he's not even being considered and hasn't been, that from the very first, when I looked at it, I told Fowler to tell him, and I've told Martin that I'm not going to appoint a fellow from Minnesota in this light right now. And I want to get someone, if I can, from the Pennsylvania area. And I've looked at Bremer's contacts with business as Assistant Secretary of Commerce and in the Commerce Department for 3 or 4 years, and it looks to me like a hell of a lot better than the man he's succeeding.
As a matter of fact, of course, I have my notes from Bob Anderson in front of me, and when I put it point blank to him, I said, well, what have you heard about Bremer? And he said, well, those who dealt directly with him spoke highly of him.
Yeah.
He had to grant that.
Yeah.
But then he went on to make these other comments about the impact on the business community and so forth, and I do feel that if you could get someone that would keep Bill Martin there for another year and let him take the rap, for tight money, rather than having an overturn which would, so to speak, put it right at the door of the White House. But there is some advantage in that, and I think...
Well, now, where does this stuff... Bill Martin never gives me any indication that he's leaving. Who puts that in?
Julian Baird called me after a long talk with Bill, and he said... Baird was Undersecretary of the Treasury with Bob Anderson. And Baird is now here in St. Paul, retired as a banker. And he said he said over the years, Bill Martin has unburdened himself to him a number of times. And he said that he was pretty discouraged after his long session with you the other night. He was pretty discouraged on grounds that he thought you were going to appoint Andy Bremer. And he obviously, Bill has obviously been talking too much. Which is unlike him, but Baird told me the only person he was telling was me. And he said furthermore that Bill had indicated to you that he didn't know but what, if he were in the minority on the board, that his usefulness would be ended. And he thought that telegraphed to you the proposition that if he were not upon Bremer's appointment, but if he were then outvoted on the board, that he would have to leave. Now, whether this is an empty threat or a real one...
Well, I would just put Fred Demme in his place in about 5 minutes, and I think that would solve that problem.
So that you feel as far as the business and financial community is concerned, you'd hold him with that move.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'd hold him or not. But I don't know how I'm holding them now. I don't know what they can do that they're not doing. They're getting all the blood they can out of it with their interest rates. All I know is that he'd be a good, competent man to run it, and I don't think anybody's indispensable. And goddamn these fellas that say, I'm going to be on a board of 7 members, and if you don't appoint anybody I want, I'm going to quit. Well, that's the best way to do that. I had a cabinet officer tell me one night, I just feel like I'd be called upon to resign if this policy that you announce is carried out. And I said, well, I just can't accept it any quicker than right now. Do you want to do it orally or in writing? And he backed up a little bit, and he's still working with me effectively.
Yeah.
But if Bill wants to resign, I would tell him, you want to do it orally or in writing?
Yeah. Well, Mr. President, you understand. I mean, I don't go for these threats and all this kind of thing either. What I'm thinking about is...
He doesn't talk to me that way. He talked to me like he really preferred a businessman, but he hadn't got anybody except this damn Bean, and I wished we'd get him where he wouldn't take it. You oughtn't to let them know he is even available. Let me know it, but don't let them know it. They've got all behind him now, and they got the NAM and the Chamber of Commerce. Well, you told Fowler, I think, and Fowler told Martin, and Martin...
No, I didn't talk to Joe about this at all, Mr. President, about Bean being available. The only ones I talked to were you and John Macy.
Well, I guess Macy told him that, because they got it around, and they've kind of rallied around him now.
Well, the point is, he talked to a couple of other people.
Yeah.
It got through other channels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have rallied around him, no question about
yeah.
it. John Meyer of the Morgan Guarantee, who called me this morning to see, you know, sort of test us out on how we would react if they went up another quarter of a point on the prime rate. Claims that they are themselves putting into effect a voluntary credit restraint program. He says, I predict confidently that the Morgan Guarantee will have lower earnings in 66 than in 65. He said, we're willing to accept that as a part of what we've got to take, but we'd like to push more of these people out into the long-term capital market. Let them raise their money through bonds and through equity, or if the money gets too expensive, let them not raise it at all and help fight against inflation. And I think he, by the way, is a decent guy and means what he says. I don't know about the other bankers. But so they're floating that balloon again. And then he talked to me about being. So that the word is around, and not for me.
I believe Bean would just be like pointing another Martin, so far as I...
I'm inclined not to think so, but then that's a risk you always take with a businessman. I think we'd have him with you most of the time, and I mean a very high proportion of the time. You know, way back when we talked at the ranch, you had hoped to find a good Midwestern businessman,
yeah.
And that's one reason we were beating the bushes out
yeah.
here. Of course, if you're thinking of Fred Deming for chairman eventually, that would close that off. So I suppose that's one of the considerations. I like Fred, as you know, but I'd hope we could get someone with more. And I know Joe Fowler is all for Fred to head up the Fed. Hope we could get someone with a little bit more zip and imagination, and a little bit more devotion to you. Then I think Fred has in his heart, although I must say he's done a swell job as Undersecretary so far.
Well, get me some good prospects.
Well, we'll keep working on it. You don't think much of the Doug Dillon idea, or don't you think he'd come?
I don't think he'd come.
Mm-hmm. If he came, of course, he'd work with you. I don't think there's any question about that. He'd be a great appointment in that sense.
Yes, I believe he would.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Well, I'll do what I can. What would you, do you think that I ought to pass the word in some subtle way that the president simply doesn't feel that he can make an appointment out of Minnesota?
Yeah, I just say he's not going to appoint Bean. He said doesn't even have him under consideration. I'd tell Bob Anderson that, tell him he hadn't had a chance to talk to me until this morning.
Yeah.
But just say the president says he had not even considered Bean. And that he's got three or four names on his list, and tell him that Russell Long's pressing a fellow named Atwood.
Yeah.
And Patman just raising uncharted hell and says he's not going to bring anything out of the committee if we don't appoint Seymour Harris.
Yeah.
That he was committed, that Kennedy committed it to him, and he's the best man available. I think he's a little too old. And I've given a good deal of consideration to Bremer, and on my own, I can't find anybody that's found one thing wrong with him, including Martin. Martin has to admit that he's had a good association with businessmen, that Connor gives him an A+, that he's handled the balance of payments with great skill, that they all like him, that he is a reserved, judicious man, that he's not a doctrinaire that's extreme on one way or the other. That they think that he is a prudent man, but that he has a progressive outlook, and he's well-trained, he's well-balanced, he taught at the University of California, and he's Wharton School of Finance in Pennsylvania, and he's a PhD from Harvard, and he spent some time, I think, at the University of Illinois, Chicago, I guess. Anyway, he's been four or five different areas of the country. Michigan, I guess it was.
Yeah, Michigan.
Michigan State.
Right. Yeah.
So he's done a good job of every job he's had. And none of them can find anything wrong with him, and the only thing I guess is he's Negro. That's the only way I can figure it.
Well, you know, the other things that they say is just, you know, just that stature, political appointment.
Well, who in the hell ever heard of Balderson? Who ever heard of anybody that's got stature on there?
Well,
I never thought that Shepherdson from Texas was a man of great stature.
No, indeed not.
I think this man has more stature than any of them. He is in the little cabinet. He is confirmed by the Senate.
Right.
He has been in a responsible job handling the balance payments with all the business. I don't think Shepherdson has. I don't think Balderson has. I don't know anything Robertson.
Oh, no.
I couldn't find any of them. I don't know a damn man on the board that's had anything except an assistant secretary job, and that was Martin. And this fellow's got assistant secretary, too.
Well, you know, Mr. President, how I feel about Bremer. I mean, after all, I've been pushing him on the substance, but that I just felt as a responsible advisor to you, I had to point up the, you know, the, some of the consequences that might occur. And
well, now, are they legitimate? Let's analyze them. Is anything legitimate about the fact he doesn't have stature? He has more stature than any damn fellow on the board.
I'm simply reporting this supposed view of the national and international banking community. Of course, the trouble is that fellows like Anderson helped form those opinions. And that's why I said, you know, that's why I put it directly to him. Have you ever heard anything derogatory about him? And he said, no. He said, the people that have worked with him think highly of him. But he said, on the other hand, he's never had a, you know, he was an assistant professor. He's never had a high position in the board and so on. I said, well, no, of course not, but he's Assistant Secretary of Commerce, which he's done with distinction. But this is part of what we're fighting, that's all. And I think you're absolutely right. One has to press.
I just tell Anderson, when you're talking to him, say, now, Bob, on this stature argument, I've looked over that board, and the president says that this man's got more stature that y'all don't know about it. You fellas that are out, me and you, just tell him you're out here with the university and that he's up there with the exporters in a bank, but that he's got more stature than anybody else on the board I know a damn thing about. I don't know what stature Balderson's got. I don't know what stature Shepherdson that Bob brought up here's got.
No.
He's just a damn farmer from Texas that knew something about animal husbandry.
He's been a non-entity on the board, complete non-entity, I'm sorry to say, but that's the fact. I think Bob, by the way, was going overseas somewhere, so that I may not be able to reach him personally, but I'll try to get
find out some way to get it to Martin that his candidate Beam ain't in it, so that we don't have to deal with him for the next day or two.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And if you think of anybody else that you think's better than Andy that we can count on, I want somebody we can count on. I don't know whether we want to count on him to be for loose money or not right now. But I want somebody that we can depend on that's not going to be threatening me with resigning if I don't agree with it.
Yeah, there's one thing, by the way, I should say. I got a report on the Open Market Committee meeting yesterday. You know, I have a fellow here that attends all those, one of my colleagues on the faculty that advises Volusia. And he said, lo and behold, yesterday, Bill Martin was the counsel of caution and moderation. The other fellows were ready to go for some further squeeze on credit, which, you know, may be right in two or three weeks, that is lowering the negative reserves of the banks. And it was Bill Martin who said, well, we got by better than we had any reason to hope for on that December move on the discount rate. And he said, let's move slowly and let's move cautiously and moderately. But he also said that three fellows on the board read your economic report and the economic message as kind of an okay for some further tightening of money, which I thought was interesting.
How many on that committee?
There's, on the Open Market Committee, I guess there's something like, is it a total of, Lord, I should know, but 14 or 15, because there's a bunch of the bank presidents. But there are two or three that, including a member of the board, according to this friend of mine, Kerrigan, who explicitly said that they read the message as license for a little bit more tightening, which kind of surprised me because I thought it was a very balanced statement that said you had to keep enough credit to maintain expansion.
Where did you get the idea that Beam had any of our money policies?
Oh, because I've talked with him. I serve on his board. And I